Coming up on Only a Game, a baseball historian with an alternative take on the 1919 Black Sox scandal and an opinion about whether Shoeless Joe's Say It Ain't So Joe moment really was so. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Headline from Monday's paper, Mets don't plan to bring Daniel Murphy back next season. Headline from Wednesday's paper, Mets planning to extend qualifying bid to Murphy. Who's this Murphy and why can't the Mets make up their mind about it?
Well, Daniel Murphy has developed an interesting negotiating strategy during the postseason, Bill. Hit a home run in every game and the team you hit them for may pay you.
Somebody's going to pay him just in case that somebody gets to the postseason next year. This guy's a phenomenon.
He's got to scare people to death, though. What if this is just a hot streak of all time?
The Mets eliminated the Chicago Cubs on Wednesday, but not before National League Champions gear was offered for sale on the Mets website. The offer was quickly rescinded, but the poor Cubs, not only did they get swept, they can't even depend on the curse of the premature championship gear offering to take a game or two in the championship series.
History says that the Mets are really not good at this, because in 1986, in the sixth game of the World Series, before it all hit the fan, ending up with Bill Buckner's error, before that inning began, the scoreboard operator in Shea Stadium accidentally put up a sign that said, "Congratulations, Boston Red Sox, 1986 World Champions." So at the very least, the Mets have developed a way to praise themselves for winning now over the past 30-odd years.
I think it's probably important that they got beyond this potential curse. They may win the whole thing. After Game 4 of the NLCS, Major League Baseball officials prevented members of the Mets from taking their bottles of champagne out onto the field and celebrating with their fans. They were citing concerns that this mode of celebration posed a safety risk to some fans. Was this a you-could-put-your-eye-out kind of a
risk? I don't know if it's about flying corks or, you know, getting champagne in your eyes, which really does sting, I can tell you, from having been in a couple of locker rooms. There's a reason why people wear the beer goggles now. I have a feeling that Major League Baseball just doesn't like the image of its employees spraying alcoholic beverages on the paying customers, but I can't be sure of that.
Rick Pitino, head coach of men's basketball at Louisville, said this week that he was not going to resign, despite allegations that former Louisville assistant coach Andre McGee paid for strippers to attend campus dorm parties from 2010 to 2014. There's no video, as far as I know, so no need for Coach Pitino to resign, right?
This is the mother of all recruiting scandals in so many different ways. I mean, there was always a nudge-nudge, wink-wink kind of thing about high school players coming to campus and finding themselves involved with quote-unquote recruiting hostesses and stuff. But this is cutting out both the pretense and the middleman.
A couple of weeks ago, you confidently announced that the New England Patriots were the only great team in the NFL this season. Now, almost halfway through the season, I'm going to give you an opportunity to include the Bengals, the Broncos, the Packers, or perhaps the Panthers in that category. You want to reconsider?
I might include the Packers. The Broncos have the Piltdown man playing quarterback at this point. I won't believe in the Bengals until they win a playoff game, and I don't know what's going on in Carolina. But anyone who doesn't want to see a Green Bay, New England, Brady versus Rodgers Super Bowl is either not a football fan or lying.
I have a new favorite NFL quarterback. I bet you're surprised to hear this. Kirk Cousins of the franchise that plays in Washington, D.C. You want to guess why he's ascended to the top of my list?
Yeah, he doesn't listen to sports talk radio. Instead, he listens to NPR.
Yay.
Hey, Bill, should I do it? Should I do it, Bill?
Yeah.
You stink, Kirk Cousins! You're a bum! Let him listen to Terry Gross.
Now he's going to listen to sports talk radio because it can't get...
You stink! Where's RG3?
The government of China has dropped the hammer on, quote, extravagant eating and drinking and on golf as well. Charlie, you have written about how some folks here in the U.S. worry that the government is going to take away their golfs, and it looks as if in China it's actually beginning to happen.
It's actually happening, although the new discipline regulation for members of the Chinese Communist Party, which is basically everybody who wants to work for a living in China, explicitly lists extravagant eating and drinking and playing golf as violations. I thought once you've played golf, the extravagant eating and drinking was implied. I don't think you need three rules. I think you only need one rule. Don't play golf. Therefore, you will not extravagantly eat nor extravagantly drink.
Finally, on Wednesday, Tim Burke won the World Long Drive Championship by driving a golf ball 394 yards. Do you suppose that contest was held on an airport runway?
Actually, it was held in Thackerville, Oklahoma, which may resemble in some ways an airport runway. Yes, I just hope Tim Burke stays out of China, though.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, and of course he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
I once drove all the way to Washington. That's further.